Now he comes to the first great principle. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Be convinced. Be assured. Now Paul changes the illustration from diet to this day question. Now some insist that the Lord's day is different and that you ought to observe Sunday. Some say that you ought to observe Saturday. May I say, it's not the day that should be different. It's the believer that should be different, my friend. And it's not the day that you observe. Let no man, Paul says, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. Won't you tell me what day I'm to observe? I'm not responsible to you. I'm responsible to the Lord Jesus. He's my master. But whatever you do for God, you ought to do it with enthusiasm. I think it's sinful the way some people go to church on Sunday. No enthusiasm. Can you imagine people going to a football game when their alma mater's playing with the enthusiasm that they go to a church service? That's one of the reasons people don't go to church today is because it's the attitude of the believers. And my friend, the Lord says, don't you do anything for me unless you have a conviction about it, unless you believe in it and want to do it. And if it's questionable, my friend, I don't care what it is. If it's to teach a Sunday school class and you got some question about it, you better give it up, because that's wrong for a Christian to do things that are questionable for him. Now, the other brother may be able to do it. You know, we have several words in the English language that you need to understand the preposition that goes with them to really understand the word. You take the word cleave. A thing can be cleaved apart, or it can be cleaved together. And actually means the opposite. Same word. Now, separation is from. But separation is also unto. When a fellow gets married, he's now separated unto one girl. And he better be, because that's what marriage is. And the separation from is not the important thing. It's separation unto. And if he's really separated unto one, he'll be separated from, all right. So that the problem today in Christian conduct and in separation is to understand that we're separated unto Christ. Paul was separated unto the gospel, separated unto Christ. And that's actually what holy means today. What is a holy vessel? They had pots and pans in the tabernacle. And on that wilderness journey, they got beaten up. They didn't look very good. And you'd say, you mean to tell me those instruments are holy? Yes, they were used exclusively for God. That ought to be the position of every Christian. Now, that's what it means to be separated, separated unto Christ. You remember Paul says, I've espoused you. And he's talking to those carnal Corinthians. I've separated you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. And the whole point is to be separated unto him. If you love him, you love his word, you want to be with him, want to talk with him, then separation is no problem. The problem is these super-duper, hyper-separated saints today that worry me to death because they say, oh my, you don't do that, do you? Sure I do that. And what they're talking about is actually playing golf. Now, I think they're meddling when they begin to get in that area. Now, I personally think whatever a Christian does, he ought to do with enthusiasm, and that is this first great principle Paul puts down here in verse 5. Notice this, and I'm going to give you my translation today. On the one hand, one regardeth one day to be above another. On the other hand, another regardeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And when I was a student in seminary, why, I was brought up in a denomination in the South that were strict, actually Sabbatarians, but Sunday was their Sabbath day, they called it. And they just didn't believe in traveling on Sunday. I used to take the train and go down to Augusta, Georgia to preach. And I'd take the train Saturday evening. And do you know that some of the officers of that church wanted to know what time the train got in to Augusta, Georgia? I never was clear on that because of the fact that I got on the train. I said, I got on it Saturday evening. And the splitting hairs like that. One man said to me one day, said, doesn't that disturb you? I said, doesn't disturb me at all. One man observes a day. Now, I respect that man. I don't think he ought to travel on Sunday. I see no reason when I'm going from one engagement to another and it's necessary to travel on Sunday, why, to do that. May I say to you, whatever you do, he says here, let every man be fully persuaded. Be convinced in his own mind. Be assured in his own mind. In other words, what you should do with enthusiasm. Why, a man can go out here in Los Angeles to the stadium, Coliseum, and see a football game and yell his head off so that he can't even open his mouth the next day. He's yelled like a fanatic or Comanche Indian. And he can go to a Dodger game at night and do the same thing. And they say, my, he's a fan. But if you just stand up and give one little squeak for Jesus Christ, you're called a fanatic. Now, whatever a Christian does, he ought to do it with enthusiasm. And that's the reason today that going to church is not attractive to the world. Have you ever seen the saints on the way to church on Sunday morning? They're not doing it with enthusiasm. Whatever you do for Christ should be done with enthusiasm, done with excitement. Be convinced of this. This is the thing. I watch these people go into a Dodgers baseball game. I want to be very frank with you. I've never been inside that stadium. Now, don't get any wrong ideas. To me, that's a waste of time. But I don't condemn anybody else that goes there. I just don't think that they're thinking right, but that's their business. And if they want to go, fine. I don't. And whatever I do, I want to do it with enthusiasm. Now, somebody says, yes, but you go to golf course. When I go to golf course, I go with enthusiasm. I go because I want to go. And whatever I do for the Lord, I make these tapes because I want to. I'd rather do this than anything that I know of. And if you want to know, I came down here this morning at 6:30 to make this tape because of the fact that this is something I love to do. And I want to see a Christian teach a Sunday school class except a work. And one of the reasons church work is bogged down as it is today, why they say to this individual, will you teach this Sunday school class? Oh, if you can't get anybody else, I'll take it. Don't take it, brother. If that's the way, well, they won't have a teacher, and they won't have a teacher. Because I think that some people are actually committing sin doing church work. Because what we should do, and this is the first great principle, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now let's bring that over to questionable things today. What about this thing and another? Now, I had a little delegation of girls several years ago. I think they probably passed this period now. But they came to me and they said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? I think I surprised them a great deal. I said, well, for you, I think it's wrong. But for me, it'd be all right. They gasped. They said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, I have no question about it. If I wanted to dance, I'd do it with enthusiasm. I don't do it. But the point is, you got a question. And whatever you do, you be persuaded in your own mind. And you wouldn't have come and asked me the question if you had been persuaded in your own mind. I said, I've never had anybody come and ask me whether they ought to go to a football game or not, or go to a baseball game. They go, and they go with enthusiasm. Now, may I say to you, Christian friend today, and I'm not telling you what to do, but I am saying it's a great principle. If you've got a question in your mind about something you're doing, I don't care what it is, For you it's wrong. Might not be wrong for me, but it's sure wrong for you. Simon Peter followed the Lord afar off. He went that night into the judgment hall of the high priest. I sat in a hotel in Jerusalem, in the old city, on the side of the Valley of Kidron, and when the morning sun had come up from the east, it had just make that whole city ablaze across the Kidron Valley. And one of the places that's outside the city wall, don't many see it, is the Church of the Cock Crowing. That's on the spot where the high priest judgment hall was. That's where Caiaphas's home was. And that's where Simon Peter came in. It's called the Church of the Cock Crowing. And Simon Peter, I'm convinced, shouldn't have gone there that night. But John, who apparently had a home in Jerusalem, knew apparently everybody. He went in there that night. He didn't deny the Lord. Simon Peter did. It was all right for John. It was wrong for Simon Peter. May I say to you, you better have a conviction about you. John had no qualms at all about that. But for this weak brother, Simon Peter shouldn't have gone in there. Now, it's the weak brother today who is the separated brother. That may seem strange to you, but these people today that have set up a little system and that get up and they say, I don't do this and I don't do the other thing. I was in school with a fella that we used to have a water fight on Saturday night in the seminary dorm. And this dear brother, he would get together two or three of the super-duper saints, and he'd pray for us. I've always hoped he'd pray that I'd win it, but oh, we were terrible. Well, we were pretty rough fellas, and I think we did do a lot of damage to property. There was one night we soaked all the rugs, and we almost got booted out of the place. But this young fella, oh, how super-duper he was. Did you know that about 15 years after that, I sat down with him and his wife, begged him not to leave his wife. And he told me he had to. And I said, why? He says, because I have a little daughter by a woman out in Australia, and I want to marry her. And I say to you, he was the super-duper saint. May I say the weak brother is the brother that's totally separated. When you meet one of those, you better keep your eye on him, because he's the weak one. The child of God today does what he does with enthusiasm for God. And they are the ones, I think, get the job done today. Now, I've spent a little time there, and I've done that purposely, friend, because this is important. That means, therefore, that questionable amusements are wrong for the believer if they're questionable to him. But if he can do that and still maintain his relationship with Christ. Now, let me tell you a little story in connection with that. Many years ago in Tennessee, a young lady went to her pastor, said, do you think it's wrong for a Christian to dance? And he said, anywhere you can take Jesus Christ with you is all right to go. Well, that made her angry. She said, well, I can take him to the dance. The pastor said, then go ahead. And so she went to the dance, and that night she said, anywhere I can take Jesus Christ. So a boy cut in on her, danced with her. She hadn't met him before. And she said to him, are you a Christian? He said, no. He wanted to make conversation. He said to her, are you a Christian? She said, yes. And this is what the unbeliever said. What are you doing here? That's what the unbeliever said. She went home. She decided maybe she couldn't take Jesus Christ there. Anywhere you take him, friends, it's all right to go. I don't care where that is. If you can take him into the bar room, you go there. The only trouble of it is the other fellas in the bar room will wonder what you're doing there. And that will be another principle later on.